We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and I'm excited. The Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome from Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? Podcasting. I'm going to love this 30 minutes. I'm going to relish it. I'll have thousands of different questions as a sports category director of Podcast Magazine, and I've done 9,000 plus interviews and hearing the success of our guests. So go ahead and introduce them.
I'm very excited to introduce our guests. I'm very curious how they got together, quite frankly. But Fritz Coleman, the weatherman for so many years, and not a weatherman like in my area, Fritz, not one just doing the weather, but you're a funny guy and got your start in the Navy and have such a history and so many great things about you. Fritz, it's so great to have you. Louise Flanker, Wheezy, man, you have done so many different things, including writing songs. I love your one song, Be Love. Oh my word. I love that. Anyway, you've done so much with radio. You've done things with movies and with so many different things. And now the two of you are joining forces doing this incredible, very, very entertaining and educational at the same time podcast, Media Path, which is also an interesting name. Anyway, so lovely to introduce you. So great to be with you two.
So great to be here.
Nice
Thank you.
Nice to be with you, Kim. Thank you so much.
Wow. I can't wait to hear the story about how they got together in podcasting. So go ahead, Kim, with your first question.
Please let us know how the two of you joined forces.
Well, it was an extension of our friendship. We've been friends for almost 40 years. Wheezy's a great success story in the world of radio. She started Premier Radio Networks, which was absorbed by Clear Channel. And that's a whole story that she'll tell you about. But we've had a friendship for many years. She produced two of my one-person shows. And we've always been on the same page with culture, with books and movies and whatever is the current consciousness of the day. And this podcast really is just an extension of our friendship. When I retired from NBC, I retired 2 weeks prior to my 40th anniversary. I had a contract, so I was unable to do outside work like podcasts. She invited me to join her on this one. And it's just been a blast. It's been the best part of my life. We're having so much fun.
And Louise, the process of thinking to put together Fritz, who's been, you know, in TV, and say, I'm going to put him into the radio podcasting world. That was interesting, right? Louise, in the process of putting you guys together for the show.
Right. Well, as you know, as I look back over the trajectory of all of my various projects that you so kindly mentioned, Fritz really played a part in all of them. You know, I made a documentary about the Cow Sills, and Fritz was at all the events with the Cow Sills. He was at all the premieres. He would do the Q&As. He would introduce concerts that the Cow Sills were putting on. And, you know, and I wrote a book, and I do music, and this podcast is the natural fit would be Fritz, because from the moment you could podcast, I was that person podcasting, like, how do you do it? What is it? And let's make one. You know, as soon as you could edit your own movie on your own computer, I was the one saying, let's figure out how to get Final Cut, you know, on our Mac. And, you know, and Fritz, I had to wait for him to retire. So I had to do like four podcasts waiting for this guy to retire. And then, you know, finally he did. And he's available to have opinions beyond weather systems. And we're having a lot of fun.
That's fantastic.
So is it okay for you then? Huh? I mean, you've had a lot of experience before Fritz. So he came in green to the podcast world with you, and you had all this experience, but he's doing all right.
He's okay. I mean, the guy shows up, he's prepared. He's done his research. We like to both like read the book. If we're interviewing someone who's written a book, we kind of like power through the books. And he's very, very consistent, very dependable. And we're such good friends that we understand each other's rhythms. And I had great podcasts before Fritz, and I always really enjoyed doing it. But like, he was my dream co-host. So,
all right, so let's talk about some of the podcasts you've done, Louise, in your career. How long have you been podcasting for?
I mean, I'm not good with math, and you're asking me to count. So I would say since you could, since someone said to me, like I said to one of my partners at Premier Radio, I said, you know, because I've been working in the trenches, you know, creating programming for you know, syndication radio stations. And I said to my partner, Craig Kitchen, I said, what's the likelihood that I would ever be given my own show? And he said very cheerfully, zero. And then he said, I have two words for you, podcast, because he didn't know that they were one word. Okay. That's how early we were in that process.
You know how it was at the time when iTunes first started with the first podcast? Is that when you started? Because I started 3 years after that. It'll be 13 years and I'm in the business of radio and television and podcasting. Because a funny thing, I started WRCT Studios 88.3 in Pittsburgh and then syndicated 150 plus stations. But that was my home and it was an education show. And basically we went live and then I'm like, okay, where can people, they didn't listen live. What are they going to do? It became a podcast. So that's how it all started. And you know, and you tell people when you're trying to get celebrities on, I have a podcast. So they know what stations you're on, what locations, what cities. And I'm like, well, I'm working on that. I have WRCT. Oh, that's the only one we'll do. Cause I did Blog Talk Radio in the start of the process and I've been on them for the whole process. So it's so interesting, but doesn't it help, Louise, when you see all these greener podcasters and things like that to say, they still understand what we were going through. We're like, okay, we had to do so much more to just get a podcast out there and then say podcast when it's so easy for podcasters now, isn't it?
It's gotten easier and easier. And you know, like all technology, you know, initially, like who had a computer? And then initially, like who was on the internet? Like one guy, you know, like, what's this internet? Where did you find it? How do I get there? And then, you know, and I was always saying to people, until it's as easy as your mom pressing a button and hearing Tom Jones, you know, everyone's not going to be online. And it's gotten easier and easier and easier for people not only to do a podcast, but to access a podcast. So, and that's
what let me say this too, Neil, if you don't mind me interjecting here. Wheezy's extensive experience in radio really helped her in areas that I wasn't as polished at. She interviewed thousands of stars, edited material, produced radio programs. So that's not that different than podcasting, understanding how to use your voice. Totally. The production value of a podcast is very similar to producing a radio show like she did. So I was very happy to draft on her experience in the podcasting world.
You definitely did the right thing for it. So I'm going to go back to Kim and I have more questions. But just to tell you the way I was first podcasting, if you wouldn't count WRCT with the great sound equipment and stuff like that, I was at Blog Talk Radio the days before someone had me hooked me up a professional mic and I was just using my phone. I was smart. I said, you know what? I'm going to get experience in this. I will interview any person, anywhere, any place, anytime. And that really has helped me. Like when I interviewed the late Alan Thick, it was literally in my car on Blog Talk Radio. And I did it. And then I syndicated it afterwards, but I did it because I would do an interview anytime. Because if you're busy with work or different things, forget it. Let's do this. We can do some editing after, boost it out. Hey, but you're only going to get that opportunity once. And when I worked with Radio Tours, the same thing. I would interview and I would be anywhere. I'd be at work or different things. Okay, I'm going to do this interview. I'm going to get off a plane. I'm going to interview this celebrity. That really helped me. Now those days are done. It's studio-wise. It's great. And that's where podcasting's gone. Go ahead, Kim, with your question for either Louise or Fritz.
Yeah, well, Fritz, you had radio experience. You kind of started out that way, right, in the Navy? Thank you for your service, by the way. But how did that help you out?
When I was in the Navy, I worked for Armed Forces Radio and Television. And so I did radio. I did a morning radio show. I was stationed on a ship for 3.5 years, the USS John F. Kennedy in Norfolk, Virginia. I did a radio show. I did television news. I did television weather. And the beautiful thing about all of those jobs was, regardless of how badly you sucked, you would never get fired because you were in the Navy. So there was great freedom in being allowed to grow for 3.5 years. It's something you're not good at. And when you work in commercial radio or commercial television, you don't have a chance to really be bad. You have to bring it from the minute you're hired. So this Navy job was fantastic. So it taught me my chops. And I was only out of work one day after I got out of the Navy before I had a radio job.
Oh, my God.
And so I did Top 40 radio for 13 years. Then I was in the stand-up comedy world and came out to California, did stand-up. And then I was presented the opportunity to be a TV weatherman. And I retired just 2 weeks shy of my 40th anniversary at NBC in Los Angeles. So I've been the recipient of an astonishing amount of good luck.
Well, I love it. And it's such an exciting thing. Now, Louise, I guess the podcast world, we have a community, especially the ones that have been in it a long time and understanding the whole process. How did you guys, because you interviewed some amazing people so far on your show, how did you land them just starting a podcast from scratch like this, but you had the experience? And how do you attract them in podcasting? Because of the podcast world versus having where I syndicate this on my radio and all these different audience, you're starting from scratch. You'll build the audience, no doubt, but you're starting from the beginning. How did you encourage these people to come on the show and then do that? It's a great tip for podcasters out there that want to have the big guests, even like you guys. Come on now, Fritz. You're well known in the industry, especially people that have watched you as a weatherman. And then Louise, your expertise.
Well, I'll let her answer this question, but I will say being in LA is helpful because you have a vast pool of talent out here.
I need to be in LA, man. I at least have gone from Pittsburgh to Dallas. Now I got to go to LA more. Because that's the thing, that would help me a lot. How I've been able to pull it off from Pittsburgh for X amount of years, who knows? It was a dream and it happened, but good, Louise. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we start with friendships. We both have a lot of friends in the comedy world. And then Fritz is friends with Keith Morrison. And you call up somebody and Keith Morrison's not checking to see how many, you know, downloads or streams that you had. He's just like, oh, it's my buddy Fritz. So, you know, you just make time for your friends. And you know, and I'm friends with Henry Winkler, so that he was gracious enough to come on the show. And we just, like I said, it's my fifth podcast, so I've had a lot of people on previous shows and I built up relationships. And, you know, you start with friendships and then you build from there. And now we have a talent coordinator who also, she books the Tim Conway Jr. show in Los Angeles. And so when she's on the phone with somebody, you know, let's say Marion Ross or, you know, or one of the, you know, former members of, you know, whatever cast that we grew up loving, you know, she'll say, you know, hey, someone's written a book, you know, and that's another good place to start is like if people are promoting something.
Absolutely.
But if someone's written a book and she's going to book them on Tim Conway Jr., she'll say, hey, would you also like to do Fritz? And since Fritz is a household name in Los Angeles, usually they say yes, especially now that you can do it over Zoom.
And I'm making another big move as a media giant. I'm going to do radio tours like I did with other where I was part of it. I'm going to create one, get celebrities on and get them to the bigger stations and run that radio tour. I've been there, done that. That was an idea. Someone came. It's coming. I don't know when, but that's a big thing because those radio tours are amazing. And then you get to talk to those people. I did have Marion on my show as well. And I've had other people from Happy Days on as well. And so it's interesting this process. And you're right. You're smart. You figure out the thing. Like I've been doing NBC radio tours for X amount of years based on starting out with interviewing people from America's Got Talent. And they're like, okay, cool. Like I had Howie Mandel on a couple of weeks ago. So it just all it comes from that and its relationship, but it's a lot of work because you're right. It's only when they're promoting something. One thing I've tried to tell my clients all the time, hey, we're going to land you a celebrity. It's only when they're promoting. And Louise, can you answer that question? I'm going to have Kim have another question. This is because this is so valuable for podcasters out there. They don't understand. When our schedules are so tight, we only can do it at certain windows. And when they're promoting something, they're going to make themselves available, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can check Amazon, see what's new, see what books have come out, see what movies, see what documentaries have come out. That's when you know that people are going to be available because they're going to want to line up a whole day where they, you know, where they do the interviews and you can be part of that day. Even if you just get a 15-minute window, that's a good place to go. If you're booking your own shows, just check out what's new, what's come across the transit. What are people going to want to know about and what are people, you know, have hired a publicist and lining up interviews for them and you can become a part of that lineup.
And quick tip that I'm going to give to Kim is IMDb Pro, get it. Contact any celebrity, get it, these databases, but you got it. Here's the thing, guys. That's not the process. You got to learn how to talk to the publicist. And you got to pick up the phone and call them. And you got to sound professional and you got to understand how busy these publicists are. And you have to understand that they only have a certain amount of time and you have to sell them that why it would be worthwhile. And having clips of your other shows out there available to show them you've done that is a big, big part of it. Once you build the reputation, it's game on. People will come to you. And it's
that's the key. You brought up a key, Neil. As soon as a publicist that represents a number of people trusts you or their client, particularly authors and stuff, and find out that you read the book and you ask reasonable questions and make the person comfortable, then they'll spread you to other clients. And that's how your reputation grows. You're exactly right.
And it goes even further. Harrow is a huge thing as well, but you have to have a certain Alexa ranking or have a television show like me. And then that opens me up to Harrow, and that's great. And it's relationships. I have so many relationships for so many years to go back to. But Kim, back to that, I told you, you're talking podcasting. This is my world. When I was on Clubhouse, when Clubhouse was really hot, I hosted a podcast room to teach podcasters for over 7 hours on Saturdays, where I literally was building Clubhouse and there people coming in to my room through a club pod. I wish those days are back. Somehow the marketers killed it. It's great to have community. And I wish there was a great community for podcasters, Louise, something for us to talk about, because it's missing. And it's missing because they're all trying to sell to them instead of giving them value. If you're worthwhile and they want to hire you, sure, but you don't pitch on stage. That's me. That's a shout out to Clubhouse. Why you killed Clubhouse became too much of a marketing mess. Go ahead, Kim, with your next question.
Yeah, well, so there's so many nuts and bolts to podcasting, and there's so much to it, but it's easier, like you said. But there's still something about style and about who you are, the person actually delivering the podcast and the messages that you deliver. And Louise and Fritz, your style is so contagious. It's so contagious to listen to. You banter a bit with each other. You give information. It seems like you know exactly when the other person's going to be talking. When you're doing an interview, it's just this great conversation. You feel like, for me, I feel like I'm in your living room and the three of us are there together with Christopher Knight or whoever you happen to be talking to. And it's just this fabulous conversation. And not all podcasts are like that. Like, is that something you develop or just something that comes natural to you, or how does it work?
I mean, I think a lot of people get thrown together, you know, if there's some kind of like higher entity that's kind of like creating, you know, cooking up all these concepts. But if it starts with friendship, the way Fritz and I have it, you know, you're just taking the conversation that you'd have on the phone and putting microphones in front of yourself and continuing it. We also we're both very prepared, and I can trust that he's prepared, and that you know, we can throw to each other, because I know that, and we signal we're in the studio together, and then sometimes we'll have the guests in the studio, but sometimes we'll have the guests over Zoom. But Fritz and I are sitting, you know, next to each other, and so we can signal to each other if the person, you know, would like to, you know, ask a follow-up question. And it's just an easy kind of friendship. I know you've got friends where you say, this should be recorded, you know? And so hopefully we're two of those friends where you're happy that it was recorded.
Okay, go, want to add to that, Fritz?
Yeah, I what I like about it is, it's just, as I said before, an extension of our friendship. We're interested in the same things. And when we're together in the studio, she has a beautifully fleshed out podcasting studio in her home. There's a real intimacy to it. And I love that. Our best shows are when we can have a guest in the studio with us, because then you're making eye contact. You can see their nonverbal cues. It's a quieter discussion. There's no wall, imaginary wall between us all. And we just love that. Those are the magical times. And now that COVID, we think, is winding down, we're going to have more people in there, and that would be our favorite thing.
The TV studio I miss, shout out to Bethel Park, who plays us in Pittsburgh area, where I would go to the TV studio, and I had them all on the TV studio with me. It was so much fun. And that was different. It's really not podcasting, even though I put it out as a podcast as well. I was in the TV studio with people. It's great that we're getting back, right, Louise, to really being able to be back together. And it's in a spot to have conversations with people. It's really a tremendous thing. Now, guys, when we're talking about YouTube, what is your goal? I always interview, because when I do, I'm the sports carotid area director for Podcast Magazine. I always ask sports podcasters. I interview NFL athletes, NBA athletes, anyone that's MLB for Podcast Magazine, who have been a sports category director for over 2 years. What would you say is the kind of, when you talk about this, where you want to see your podcast go? Where do you want it? What is the ultimate goal for you guys? I know it's fun. It's two best friends having fun together. But where do you want to see this podcast?
Well, we just want to inspire folks to check out what's going on in their world and learn more and continue to, you know, to grow and learn. And kind of give people good tips on where they're going to find excellent programming, excellent books, And so the more people that we reach, the more people that can reach back to us and say, hey, how about this? How about that? We want to create a conversation and, you know, that kind of buzz where people are talking about what they heard about, what they're going to check out, and then get back to us and say, hey, we've got some great ideas for, did you watch this show? We'd love for you guys to have a conversation about this show. So yeah, like any other podcast, we're just hoping to reach more people so that the conversation can become increasingly interesting.
And Fritz,
and our name, Media Path, comes from the first 10 minutes of the show. At the top of each show, Weezy and I both had choices. We have selections. For instance, I might have seen something interesting on streaming. For instance, the thing that got 16 Emmy Award nominations, Dope Sick on Hulu. I might view that. We don't review. We just call it to people's attention. And then I might do a book. I did a book about the first year of the Civil War called 1861. And then Weezy just did a cruise of the Arctic Circle and did a couple of books written by people from Norway and Finland. And we just throw them out there and have a discussion about them. And then we invite on the guest. And the guest may or may not have something to do with what we're talking about previous to that. So, but the term Media Path is, we will introduce you to maybe a new book or movie or streaming content of some kind. And then we'll say, if you are interested in that, might we also recommend this? So we're sending you down a media path. And that's the fun part for us. And every week we introduce new stuff and people reach out to us on our Facebook page and make their own recommendations. And then when we have a guest on, they make recommendations. So it's kind of fun. It's not a review. It's not that hardcore. It's just suggestions to friends about stuff they might want to spend their time doing.
No, we don't mention the stuff we hate. We just talk about the stuff we love. And also the media path concept is that, you know, the technology allows us to access whatever is interesting to us. So if you say you like Dope Sick, you know, we could say that was based on a book. You should read the book. Or, you know, someone else wrote a book about the opioid dilemma. And then, you know, you keep going further and further, especially like with history. We're both obsessed with history. If you want to talk about Watergate, if you want to talk about, you know, one of the books that led to one of the movies that led to another book, that's sort of the pathway that people kind of go down when they become obsessed with a topic.
I love the fact that you mix the media discussions with then a guest. So you really get people in the conversation of something that you're promoting, that not promoting, but enjoy, that you want to talk about, and get people more in that conversation. I think it's really a good idea. It's a different type of podcast that really fits a little bit of radio with a mixture of radio and podcasting. Then you have the guest, the guest format interview, but you keep them on their toes so they want to keep listening through the whole thing. And that's a great thing because they enjoy your banter together. And a lot of times when you interview people, you can't be as bantering as you can in a conversation, especially about something. And you know each other, what they're going to say and what you say. And that makes things a lot more easy for sure. Where can people check out the podcast? Best place?
Wherever you get your podcasts, just type Media Path podcasts into your search field with whatever you're listening on, whatever platform. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on YouTube. I do a video version of it. I'm a filmmaker, so we make a little show for you that is complemented by all kinds of visuals that we're discussing on the show. So on YouTube. But yeah, wherever you go to get your content, we'll be there. And we'd love to share our show with you.
And Kim, you can check out Kim and her book at where, Kim?
Well, Love is the name of my latest book. And so loveis.info you can go to, or kimsorrell.com. Kim Sorrell, I'm literally the only Kim Sorrell spelled my way in the entire world. You can say that. So, but there's way too many letters. That's the issue. S-O-R-R-E-L-L-E. Two R's.
What is your book about?
My book is, I dedicated a full year to learning, to try to discover the true meaning of love. And most of the time I was in Haiti when I was doing it. So that kind of added a twist to things, but I discovered some things that rocked my world, changed my life. I start out each chapter with what I think I'm going to discover. And then the actual story of whatever happens to me in Haiti, where I actually make a discovery. I was chased by a motorcycle gang. I slept outside with tarantulas and snakes and chupacabras or whatever there happens to be in Haiti. I got lost.
Were you in Haiti for one of their natural disasters, or were you down there just as a tourist, or because you were interested?
Yeah, I actually went down to Haiti. I'd been to Haiti a couple times, but went 2 weeks after the earthquake that killed 200,000 people in 2010. And then I spent most of the next several years in Haiti working. Wow. So I do a lot of work in Haiti.
It's a very interesting.
Go ahead, Neil.
I was going to say, it's a very, very interesting story. And a lot of people have said really great things about the book. So definitely, I know Kim will want to send you guys a copy of it for sure for you guys to check out.
Yes, please do.
Fantastic. All right, fantastic. And I appreciate you guys. Last podcast question. How many people now know podcasts, like in conversations and down the street and different places you see people now and say, hey, I have a podcast. How many people really know?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think everybody has heard of a podcast, but I think a lot of people hit a wall and it sounds like a thing they can't access. So it sounds like if you say, oh, it's on HBO and the person's like, oh, I don't get HBO. Right. So for some people, it's that learning curve of like, oh, that's a thing that I don't know how to do. But it's way easier than people realize.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys and definitely have to stay in touch, Louise and Fritz, especially with the whole media thing. As I said, we need to create a podcast community that's safe for podcasters, not salespeople, but a place just to help people develop this stuff because everyone's going through these things and then the marketers come in and ruin it all, like I talked about in Clubhouse and I guess Fireside, which I was part of too. And I thought they're just marketers and just forget about it. I want to be a place that's a safe place for podcasters to learn and develop and grow because we have so many of them that quit. Louise, do you know the percentage of the real active podcasters, maybe 2 million in the whole world, and yet active podcasters, maybe 700,000 in the whole world compared to YouTubers? It's ridiculous. And we need to have a place that's a place to not sell them, but to teach them. That's my belief system. And you know, if they want to talk, they want help, we're available for them, but not we're pitching them, we're providing value for them to get them through the day. That's something, a dream of mine. So maybe we'll have to touch base sometime, Louise. And I appreciate you guys both. And it's what I'm passionate about, podcasting, radio and television, and helping people in the media. And people definitely have to check out your show. So I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much. You raised such excellent points. There is no centralized podcast community. YouTube is centralized. There is no centralized podcast community to have these conversations. So I love what you're doing. I'd love to talk to you about it.
Okay, sounds good. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.